much about.
You gotta put it into perspective.
Hey! Is anybody out there? Is this on? Is this mic on? Is this thing on?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. And it's Rodney and the Rocks. We're still honking out hits.
We were looking up something that we had, discovered years ago. And especially comes to mind, since Nick Ahmed has a base hit to drive in the run, he wears number 13.
Ah.
1-1. It's an untrue, old-fashioned belief that number 13 is an unlucky number. It's a worldwide belief, but it does not hold up.
That's fascinating. Let's just forget about it, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
And now.
Why radio? Why not TV? Some more stimulating.
That's what I love.
Cheers. It's what I hate.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Monday. It is the 9th of May.
What's up, you guys?
What's happening?
It's Monday morning.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Hey, Allie, you may know about more about this than I do. I'm a little bit late to the Mercury crossing in front of the sun party. But is that a thing today?
Is that a party, first of all?
Is that something that we will be able to see and enjoy? Is it something that will spin the Earth out of its orbit and we'll all die? Is it something that if we look at, we'll go blind? What are the details of the Mercury crossing the sun?
All of those things. If
really?
We look at it, we'll die. There's a huge party. And, why would you think I would know anything about any of that?
Because aren't you a smart person? I thought you were a smart person.
Oh, that's so nice. That's no, not even a little bit.
I want you to look around the room and see what my other options
How
were.
How dare you?
That's a good point.
Asking
good
that
point.
Question. I didn't really think Chip was invested, and Kevin doesn't know what
no
Mercury
one's invested,
is.
So.
I know that Mercury's been in retrograde for a long time.
Sure. Now, what does that mean? Is that just...
That just means you're all jacked up.
But is that just BS astrology, or is that something that happens in the actual sky, astronomy-wise?
Right.
What does it mean when Mercury is in retrograde? Uh-huh. It means it's where and doing what.
So, yeah.
I feel like... Can you play the open again? Let's start again. We can cut all that out.
I feel like you were not the fountain of information I was hoping for.
I have let you down. I'm sorry.
You really kind of have. I have Mercury questions.
Yeah, you do.
You also have the internet.
Yeah, that too is
which
true.
Which makes really for... Both sides of that argument.
Having a conversation with people here is what I've tried to do.
You're talking at more than having a
conversation
with.
No, I was legitimately asking. I was actually asking because I'm interested, but I've been very busy and I didn't have time to look it up. So I thought maybe somebody knew something.
Right.
What have you been doing?
Well, I'm getting ready
for busy.
A little show here.
Okay.
That's what I've been doing.
Okay.
I woke up today and they said, hey, today's the day that thing with Mercury happens. And I went, oh my God, what's the thing? I don't know what the thing is.
That's
what am
right
I...
there. That's the difference between you and I.
I just what got... am I...
Yeah. All right.
Felt like there was something I should be doing.
Good
for
luck
it.
To Mercury. With all that.
All right. You people are worthless.
That's true.
Last week, maybe the week before, I brought you a story about...
Inky?
Nope. This was post-Inky, I think. This was the guy who created a little bit of a panic on an airplane when he was speaking Arabic to his uncle back home in, I don't know, wherever he was from, Pakistan or wherever. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he ended up being escorted off the plane because passengers were nervous that there was a guy who, by the way, was an American who spoke Arabic. So they got him off the plane and, you know, we had the big discussion about, well, is it the right thing to do? They always say if you see something, say something. But then again, if somebody's speaking Arabic like billions of people do, doesn't necessarily mean that's trouble. Isn't that more about you? So we went on and on about that. Well,
and I think our conclusion was better safe than sorry. I think.
I'm not sure.
I think we all agreed, like. Kick him off.
I don't think
that's
any
true.
Of us said that.
I don't think that's
did.
What
no.
we said.
Okay.
So since then, there have been two more stories of panic on the ground before a plane takes off. Two. And I want to get your quick read on both of these. One is, this is a female passenger boarding a Qantas flight in Melbourne, Australia, heading to Perth. So not long after she boards the plane, she decides she's going to look at her phone and get online. And in the Wi-Fi menu, she sees a hotspot with the name Mobile Detonation Device. That's the Wi-Fi name. Mobile detonation device. So she alerts a member of the crew. They inform the captain and security. And then the pilot comes on and says, hey, there's a device on the plane. We find it threatening. We're not leaving until this device is brought to him. They never did find out whose phone had that Wi-Fi of mobile detonation device. But the plane did end up taking off with no problems after 40 passengers decided they were not going to stay on that flight. So that caused hours of delay as those passengers got off the plane and all of their luggage was taken off the plane. So whoever is flying around with a Wi-Fi name of mobile detonation device, that person's an asshat, right?
Maybe that's ill-advised.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Maybe don't do that,
yeah.
Right? All right, so that's thing one. Here's thing two. This is an Ivy League professor. He is Italian. His name is Guido Menzio. He's an economist at the University of Pennsylvania. He gets on a plane a couple of days ago. He's on his way to Syracuse, and he is working on math. He's got a presentation at Queen's University in Syracuse, and he is working on math equations.
Like you do.
Like you do. Well, I mean, he's an economist. He's an economy professor, so this is kind of in his wheelhouse. The woman sitting next to him starts up a conversation with him. So, Syracuse home for you? And he apparently does not answer in a way that made her confident that he had been to Syracuse before. And now she's getting nervous because she sees him scribbling all these things on paper that she doesn't recognize. And she thinks they're Arabic.
What?
Now, what's he writing in Arabic that would concern her? That's not usually how you bring a plane down, is by writing something in Arabic.
She thought he was going to pass a note?
Right. Maybe that's what she thought. But anyway, she thought he was too laser-focused on his notepad, so she alerted the flight attendant, and they removed the man from the plane for an interview.
Oh, for the love of God.
He was doing math, you guys. He's an Ivy League professor doing math on a plane. But
granted, math to me looks like a different language, but still. Lady.
The man said the woman was concerned that I was a terrorist because I was writing strange things on that pad of paper, which turned out to be math.
Oh.
So anyone in the wrong or in the right there?
The lady headed to Syracuse is in the wrong. Not everyone's trying to blow up a plane, lady. Not everyone that's different from you is trying to kill you. That's coming from me.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
That's coming from the murder girl.
Right.
I mean, who knows how close she got a look at it. I mean, if she had been able to see it, she probably would have recognized numbers and letters, right? But from a distance, just like looking out of the side of her eye, she probably thought, that's not English! That's not English!
So did the plane not take off with him on it, or
it doesn't say in this article anyway. I'm hoping that it was a brief interview and he was still able to make his flight and make his conference, but I'm not seeing that here. I hope that's the case. But anyway,
and sat back next to her. That would have been the best. They held
the
plane.
Can you imagine the whole
right
flight
back next to her?
So apparently, it's quite exciting to fly these days. Apparently, there are a lot of things to keep your eyes open for.
All right, so don't speak Arabic and don't do math.
Right.
Well, I'm good.
And be careful with that Wi-Fi hotspot name. Right.
All right. I like it. Good tip. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Wow, your English is getting really well.
Right? We have tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016 in the front row today.
That show is Saturday, you
That's
guys.
That's this Saturday.
That's
this
coming
Saturday?
Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's coming.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That seems soon.
It is.
Okay.
It's the 14th, and we've got your tickets in the front row today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to ask you for fan songs about the K-Rock Weenie Roast. You write a song or a rap about you needing to be there and who you need to see and why you need to be there and why everybody else fails and you win. That's what we're going to be looking for, but later on today. We also have Kane Hodder on the show. He, you may know as Jason from the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah.
And he's got an Indiegogo campaign to raise money for, is it a documentary, I think?
Yeah.
I think so. Yes.
It's a whole life story of him. He's got a very interesting life.
Yes, he does. We're going to go through the Radiohead album, listen to that, and see what's up with the new Radiohead. Justin Bieber is working with God now, so we got that working for us.
Huh.
And Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.3.
This wasn't on, was it?
No.
Not even a little bit.
Well, a second afterwards. Okay. A second afterwards.
It's all right.
Yeah.
No, it's
Weren't
good
you just
time.
Bragging to Ralph about how prepared you were, Ralph?
I'm over being ready, better getting up and being ready.
That's what I just was saying to him before I did not turn on his mic.
Yeah. Happy Monday, everybody. Time Welcome roll. Back to the work week.
Hey, great news. I found a Mercury Transit live stream.
Oh, so, thank God.
So you can enjoy it and not bother us with it?
I'm able to watch that. I'll still narrate. I'll still pass along.
Thank you. Not
Mercury's crossing the sun. That's you enjoy that. Mercury's crossing the sun.
Yes, that's what I'm looking at right now.
The sun. You get to see that. It happens a couple times a decade.
All right.
Not a big deal. Everyone
it's been about 10 years. It's been about 10 years since the last time it happened.
Everyone, we're all going to die. Everyone move along. Nothing to see here.
It's just a little.
Get back to your homes.
Little tiny dog.
It's nothing. It is nothing. Stop it. Stop talking about it. Stop being it.
Do we go blind if we look? Is it that one?
Yes, you do, as a matter of fact. If you look directly
well,
into the sun.
Well, if you ever look at the sun, if you stare at it, you could damage your vision.
But there was and we had to look through, like, these things that we made with cardboard.
You're thinking of a pinhole viewer.
Yep.
But that is for the eclipse, solar eclipse.
So this is not that.
Has nothing to do with this, which is something else.
Apologies.
This is, you are the best people ever, all of you.
But wait, isn't
glad
it?
Glad to be here. Glad to be with you.
But
hi,
wait,
Chip.
Ralph.
Good to see you at least.
Hold on a second.
You're
here.
A nice, normal, regular person.
I'm no astronomer. But
no, you're not.
Isn't an eclipse the moon crossing in front of the sun, between the Earth and the sun? Isn't that what an eclipse is? And this is Mercury crossing between. No, I guess that wouldn't be between the Earth and the sun.
I can't believe you. Don't shut up.
I don't understand how Mercury is crossing the sun and we can see it. That I'm
confused. Yeah, shut up, dude.
All right, I need to do a little
what
more
in
research.
God's holy name are you blathering about?
You do you, Ralph, and I'll go check this out.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
An eclipse, by definition, means it precludes your vision of seeing the other body, celestial body. It would not be this case.
Right, but how can
here's
Mercury be in front of the sun and we see it, though? I'm confused.
Here's the thing,
because
we
all closer to the sun.
Yes, but we all, you know, all the planets revolve around the sun.
Right, of course. And Mercury's the closest.
Right. So if that's close to the sun and we're further away, you don't think it's ever possible that Mercury could get in between us and the sun?
I do, but I feel like it's too tiny for us to be able to see. It's
this
a speck.
Is a rough start to the week.
My thought is everything that you think does not need to then be said on the air.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
I get that. All right.
You don't get it because get it that message is being broadcast at your head for 25 years. You don't get it at all. It's being, this is the Lost episode where that thing is constantly being beamed out of the Swan Center or whatever that place was.
Right.
Just keeps, the message keeps going and going and going and going.
For the rest of time. Mm-hmm. And it's not landing anywhere.
Right. Okay. So you getting it is actually the opposite of what's actually happening, which is you not getting it.
I think I see. I think I got it now. Now I got it. All right, what's going on?
Oh, this is turning out to be a total waste of time.
What's going on in the world of showbiz, Ralph?
Let's talk about happier things, shall we?
All right. Sure.
Like Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah!
So good.
I had a chance to see it early last week. Kevin, I believe you saw it over the weekend.
So good.
Right?
Loved it.
Right.
You ranked it.
I ranked it.
Wow.
My favorite superhero movie.
If you rank something,
you know you're serious about it.
Yeah.
It's on.
I had no idea where there was ranking going on.
It.
Well, you can't like anything more than when you rank it. Now, you're not a comic book guy, Kevin. You're not superhero savvy.
No, I am not.
And yet you were able to enjoy the film.
Yes, very much so.
Without really understanding anything that was going on.
There are a couple of the characters that I didn't even recognize, but it was just fantastic. So well done. Back to you.
There you go. And Kevin ranked it, so that's all
I
you really need to know.
I didn't say that, by the way. Ellie did.
Dominated the weekend's box office
right
with $182 million. $182 million. Sweet Kevin. It's pretty good. Captain America amounted to just less than four times the money from the rest of the top 10 films combined. So it's a strong opening weekend. For Cap. Jungle Book was a distant second with $22 million, then Mother's Day, The Huntsman, Winter's War, and Keanu at the top five. Barbershop, The Next Cut, Zootopia, The Boss, Ratchet and Clank, How May We Help You, and Batman v Superman at number 10.
Well, that one's still in the theaters.
Well,
other than the fact it's really good.
Made $1 million this weekend.
All right.
So somebody's still being sucked in somewhere. but it's great, I think. What are we supposed to... What was our company line? Great. I forgot. Yeah. It's great, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, things look like trouble in paradise for the Osbournes. Sharon gave Ozzy the boot, apparently kicked him out again. This time, however, it's not for substance abuse. He didn't fall off the wagon. He didn't show up loaded. He wasn't boozing again. Reports are that the Prince of Darkness was reportedly carrying on an affair with a hairdresser. Well, he's got a lot of hair.
He
needs it dressed. A hair undresser, probably, right? Who's with me? Whoop, whoop. After finding out, there was a huge fight, and Sharon reportedly kicked him out. Words are, the friends are concerned for Ozzy now, because, you know, Sharon is his rock.
Yeah. Right.
And without her constant guidance, who knows what kind of shenanigans he would get up to with the glug glug and the sniff sniff and the bloop bloop. Right?
Right. What you said.
Yeah.
He does all of those things.
But he has since got in touch with his kids, Kelly, Jack, and Amy, and apparently all is well, except for the fact that a rep confirms Ozzy is not in the marital home. That's a nice way to put it. Oh. Ozzy on the loose. Now we're in for some good times,
yeah,
people.
No kidding.
And the Biebs. Biebs made waves over the weekend. He is hardcore, man.
Justin Bieber?
Yep.
He's hardcore.
You're gonna like the story.
All right.
He's got a brand new facial tattoo to prove it.
No.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I feel, Kev.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
I'm with you, K-Train.
Yeah.
Kev Dog.
Bring it.
He popped into the West 4th Tattoo Parlor in New York City last Friday with his buddy, and they both splurged on getting crosses below their left eyes.
No way.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It
no.
happened.
Yes, yes,
this
yes.
is going to end up being fake like the Ed Sheeran
little
Titan tattoo,
crosses
right?
below the left eye just to celebrate Jesus.
Yes.
And then the guys head over to a nightclub where Bieber apparently gave the crowd a free show by belting out his hit Sorry and What Do You Mean? Sure, when I show up drunk in a nightclub, start singing Sorry, What Do You Mean? I get thrown out, but he gets celebrated? I gotta get a cross.
You have the tattoo.
Gotta get my eye cross.
That's right.
Gotta cross my eyes and dot my T's.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays?
Asshole.
Rosario Dawson. Oh. How great is Rodos?
Pretty awesome.
I don't think anyone calls
Rodos.
Her Rodos. Nope.
Everyone calls her Rodos.
Ooh, name two people.
One, me.
Yep.
Rodos. And then this guy.
Oh,
Those two people.
She seems to have a new full-time job campaigning for Senator Sanders, though. That's the only place you ever see her anymore.
She is a politically active young lady, for sure. She likes to express her viewpoints, and sometimes that puts her in the hoosegow. But that's commitment. That's what I'm saying. I love that in a woman. You go, Rodos. You be you.
I don't think Rodos is going to catch on, though.
Oh, it's on fire. I can hear the
already?
Hashtag already. Yeah. 37 years old today. Dave Kahan. You know him from Depeche Mode, of course. He is 54 years old. And Billy Joel, the piano man himself, celebrates his 67th birthday. Still performing monthly concerts in Madison Square Garden, by the way.
He still has that one night?
Still got that gig once a month.
Huh.
He says he's going to keep doing it until he doesn't sell tickets anymore, and he's sold out for the next 6 months.
Wow.
People love some B. Joel. Some B. Joe.
Okay.
Nobody calls him that either.
No. BJ?
Well,
yes, that's what they go with.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's 67. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're going to be hanging on the side of the stage for that song on Saturday, Allie?
I do love the Lumineers.
You do love the Lumineers. They're playing along with Panic at the Disco and Empire of the Sun and Weezer, Chili Peppers, Garbage, Fits in the Tantrum, so much more. Again, we got your tickets you can win just after 8 o'clock this morning. We're going to be looking for your fan song. We're going to ask you to write and record or parody somebody else's song about your love for the Weenie Roast and why you need to be there. So that's coming up this morning. Front row tickets, by the way, if I didn't mention that. All right, I try, and Kevin, I know you do the same thing, try to filter out email from anybody out of Boston, just in general.
Sure.
We don't need to hear anything people from Boston have to say. But somehow Todd's email got through. Kevin Bean, I'm an avid...
Spell Todd for us.
Well, his name is spelled Todd, T-O-D-D.
Oh, okay.
And he spelled it T-A-W-D at the end, and I think he's kind of making fun of the way the Boston people can't speak English.
Right.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm an avid podcast listener of your show. I've been listening for the past 7 years from Boston. What's up, Allie? I just discovered the best thing while listening to the podcast on my iPhone. As I was listening, I missed something you said, and I went to hit the back 15 seconds button. but I accidentally hit the speed button instead. Now, for folks who don't listen to the podcast on a phone, that they do have those options. If you want to go back 15 seconds or go forward 15 seconds, or if you want to make the, for whatever reason, if you want to make the thing go twice as fast or half as fast, you can do that. Now, what do you suppose that feature is there for?
I don't know. And I can't imagine that any of us said anything that was worth going back 15 seconds for.
Ever.
Ever.
Well, sometimes maybe you miss a punchline or you miss a guest introduction's name. I can understand that. But I don't understand why they give you the options of speeding up and slowing down. I don't get that. Anyway, so I hit the speed button instead, Todd says. That started speeding up the show. And then after I hit the speed button a couple more times, it ended up on half speed. And I have to tell you, when you play your show at half speed, it sounds like you guys are doing the show completely drunk off your ass. I've never laughed so hard in my life. In fact, I listened to the rest of the show about 20 minutes more, all in half speed. I might start listening to the show this way from now on. You guys need to play some parts of the show in half speed to have a good laugh. Love the show. Fire beer mug, Todd from Boston. All right. I had not tried this before, but I did last night go to Friday's podcast right as we were coming on the air at 5:30 to see what it sounds like. So I'm going to hit the tape, and it's going to pick up right before we come on live. And let's see what Todd found so amusing. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
And now.
Okay, guys. Hey, guess what? You just got blamed.
Yeah! Our feature presentation. We take such joy in such stupidity. That is accurate.
Yeah, that's the show.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Captain Beachel. It's Friday, the 6th of May. What's up, you guys?
You know.
Hanging and banging.
Right.
What?
Like we do.
Talking to hits. Like you do.
That's right.
Everybody excited about the weekend?
Sure.
Listen to Allie's. Listen to Allie's yes, by the way.
Yes.
Sure.
Doing anything? Going any place? Living in dreams? Living any dreams? No, I don't think so.
I am.
My dream is for more sleep. Are you living the dream this weekend, Allie? It's like 5 days I'm working.
Yeah.
I noticed that, by the way.
So,
I didn't want to say anything and jinx it yesterday, but when you showed up 4 days in a week yesterday, I thought that was some sort of new world record.
How are you feeling today?
I think I'm going to make it.
What do you guys think?
Wow, we're so much more interesting
disturbing.
That way. Not interesting, but just disturbing, yeah.
You guys want a little more?
Oh, yes. Please.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a second wind, or are you just running on fumes now?
No, I'm all good. I feel better than I ever have.
Couldn't even get that out.
Kevin, you're all right?
I'm fine. I'm good.
Wow. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Todd from Boston with a new exciting way for you to listen to this
show.
How about that? It only takes twice as long, but I think it might be worth it.
Good luck, everybody.
Monday morning means we check in with the TMZ.com newsroom, and our good friend Harvey Levin is on the phone. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
That's good. How about you guys?
Very good. Doing fine. Good. That you watched any of that Kentucky Derby?
I did not watch this year.
Yeah.
By the way,
it was like a 3-hour program, and at the beginning of it, they said, this is the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
I know, and it's three hours of coverage.
I was like, I'm out.
The reason I ask, Harvey, is because every year I feel, you know, look, it was social media that got SeaWorld to stop having the whales, right? I feel like every year there's so much rage about this horse racing that I'm wondering if eventually horse racing is not going to be a thing anymore.
Do you think it's the same? Like the whales and the horses?
I mean, I think for a lot of people, they think it is horse torture. It's just cruel and unusual the way they go. If you don't run fast enough, you die. You know, you get shot. You get taken out back behind the barn. I mean, people have said it was unbelievable how many awful things people were saying about horse racing over the weekend.
But you know what? And then how do people eat beef and then talk about that? Do people who eat beef talk about that?
Yes, because in people's minds, horses and cows are different. Just like in people's minds, pigs and dogs are different. People just, they draw lines in their brains about what's acceptable and what's not.
It gets murky, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely gets murky. Anyway,
by the way, did you see, what's the name of the really famous jockey? I'm just drawing a blank now. The guy that rode...
Yes.
The Triple Crown. What's his name?
Yes, I know exactly here. I don't know
Johnny
either.
Asshole.
The famous jockey.
Jockey, yeah.
Who won last year?
Right.
I'm asking my crew.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Who had a lot of sex?
Victor Espinosa.
There it is, Victor Espinosa.
We got him out, and he was saying that he and the horse he rode in on have lots of sex before the race.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
True. We got him out in Kentucky, and he talked
about it. He has sex with the horse?
No, that's not what you said.
That's what he said.
That's what he said, right?
No. Both he and the horse separately.
Oh, separate.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Wow. I missed that on TMZ.
I appreciate the clarification very much. All right. Let's talk about a couple of things on the site at TMZ.com right now that are very interesting, not the least of which is we are seeing the birth of a new Kardashian dynasty. If China and Rob get their way, right, Harvey?
We are indeed. Black China and Rob are shopping a reality show, and they will sell it too. By the way, I mean this will absolutely
just
sell.
Because of the name.
Yeah,
I mean, does anybody think Rob is going to bring something to the table?
Do you know what? I think he is more interesting than people give him credit for. Of all of them, he's the one that kind of goes rogue, and I think she's entertaining. And this show will do well. I'm telling you, this show will do well.
You think it'll be E again, Harvey?
I think they almost have to present it to them first, and I know that they went to them. The E may deny it, but they went to them. And I have no idea whether they're going to go through with it. My guess is they will, because if they don't, somebody else is going to buy it, and nobody wants to say, oh, I passed on that show.
Right.
And I think, honestly, I think it could be really, really interesting. She is a piece of work.
Yeah, she's very outspoken and surprising with the things that she says, and I think that's what you want in a reality show. And it would also make a lot of sense on E just because it would make it easier for other family members to appear without there being some sort of contract problems, too, right?
Right. But you know what? Honestly, on this one, I don't know that the other family has to appear. I mean, it'd be hilarious to see, you know, Amber Rose and the whole crew.
What kind of money are we talking about for a show featuring
figures.
These seven figures for Lesser
seven.
Kardashians?
Oh,
that's the name of it, Lesser Kardashians. Is this after the kid is born?
They were shopping this before the announcement. I don't know whether they told E they're having the kid. They probably did.
What about the story that you put up about Blac Chyna copywriting her name as a Kardashian? Now, she's not married to Rob, right?
She's not married. She's going to get married. And I think she's just protecting everything she can possibly do. Her name is Angela Renee White. Mm-hmm. So she's trademarking Angela Renee Kardashian. I'm not sure why, because she's known as Blac Chyna, but I think she just wants to, you know, and it's funny because in the petition, we got a copy of it. She says, you know, she wants to make sure that any movies, any TV shows, and, you know, anything involving a social media celebrity, as she puts it, is hers.
They are big thinkers in terms of planning ahead for stuff like this. I mean, I guess it makes sense. You're a lawyer. You probably would have advised her to do that if she'd asked you, right?
I got to tell you, they probably, you know, you probably hire the best law firm in L.A., and they're not thinking about how to make a buck as much as they are.
Speaking of those in the outer reaches of the Kardashian universe, sad story about Lamar Odom on the site this weekend.
It really is. I mean, look. He is a really good guy, and he's a nice guy and a good guy, and his life's getting destroyed by substance abuse. And he almost died, 5-6 months ago? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and he swore off alcohol and drugs, and he clearly didn't do that. And on Easter, he was drinking in a bar. He was drinking again yesterday at the Beverly Center. And, you know, just alone, as one of his friends went into a store and he runs into the Beverly Center and he downs three Remy Martins in 10 minutes and then, you know, runs out. But I don't know, man. I mean, he almost died. And if that's not what does it, I don't know what does it.
Look, how many times have we had this conversation with Dr. Drew on our show? That's the power of addiction. Of course it doesn't make sense. Of course, if you asked him in a sober moment, should you be drinking, he knows he shouldn't. He knows that, but he's an addict.
And you know what? And being an addict, you can't say, oh, it's his fault. I don't know. You know, a lot of people say that. You know, there are people who have, you know, smoked a joint or had a drink here and there, and they're fine. And then there are people who just unravel. And so much of it is just physiological and the way you're built. And he just wasn't built that way. And it's really sad.
Well, I don't know what kind of support system he has in his life. I mean, it seemed like his wife
was not great.
Yeah, it seems like his wife was really trying hard. Chloe was trying hard to take care of him as best she could as long as he was staying sober. But now that she's out of the picture. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know who he's got, but he needs somebody or he's going to end up another bad headline, you know? So, all right, well, keep us posted on it, Harvey. Thanks so much for coming on TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live, of course, Monday through Friday at 4 on Channel 11 as well. TMZ Sports is Monday through Friday and Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, especially if you have people coming to visit you this spring and summer, the only place to buy your tickets for the TMZ tour, which is so much fun, is at TMZ.com. Have yourself a great week, sir. We'll do it again next time.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Justin Bieber, back in the news. That story Ralph did earlier today about Justin getting a new tattoo. How many tattoos you reckon he's got now? About 20?
Don't know.
Got a lot. This is his first one on his face, though.
That's the best.
Tattoo on your face is making a statement. He went to the West 4 Tattoo Studio, and a tattoo artist named John Valena gave him a tattoo of a little cross underneath his left eye, I want to say. He said it was a representation of his faith in Jesus and his journey with finding purpose in God. We wanted to find out more about this and some other stuff we've seen with Justin in the news lately, so we thought we'd get him back here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's always kind to come on, and I think he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Justin.
What's with all the questions, yo?
Well, it's just, how can we not have questions when you're getting tattoos on your face?
Because God, yo.
Right?
Because God, yo. We didn't think of that.
Because God's like crazy town, yo.
God is crazy town?
Yeah.
Huh.
God is really cool.
Okay. Yeah, okay. A lot of people like God, but can't you still love God and have it someplace that's not on your face?
But why would I hide my light under a bushel, yo?
That's a good point.
Okay.
Thank you. Bible.
Right. Bible.
Bible indeed.
Bible.
You put up some Instagram posts that seem to say that God is the one that deserves all the praise for your music, not you.
Right, eh? I just want everyone to know that I don't deserve all the amazing praise and love and everything I get, all the love I get and the praise and the money and the sex. I don't deserve it, eh? That's all God. Give it up to the big man upstairs, yo.
I mean, that seems like a humble way to approach it because you believe that God gave you the talent to do these things.
No, you're missing out, man.
I am.
No, God comes through me. When I'm on stage, it's God who's out there. God is performing the music, yo. I'm just an average, ordinary person, yo.
So you're just an instrument for God.
Exactly, lady. I'm like a vessel.
Right.
I'm just a vessel, yo, and God shines through me.
Hey, douchebag, don't put this on me.
Uh-oh.
What? What is... is that you, eh?
Yes, it is I, the Almighty.
Uh-oh.
At least I used to be until I screwed up and made you.
Ouch, yo. Why you gotta be like that, God? I thought you loved everybody.
I love all my creatures, except you.
Oh, come on, eh? Ow, this hurts, eh? Hey, God, I got a tattoo on my face for you, eh? Come on.
That tattoo looks like ass.
Oh. Come on, look at it, though. Take a good look right there.
What is that, a mole?
No, it's a tattoo.
Is that an Oreo cookie crumb?
Oh, come on, eh? It's not big, but it's still there. That's something, isn't it?
If you're going to get a tattoo in my honor, commit, douchebag.
Oh, ouch, yo. That's like my God, yo. He's... Wow.
You don't expect your God calling anyone a douchebag, do you, Justin?
God. Give me a sign, God.
I just want to say I apologize to everyone for making Bieber.
Oh, come on, eh?
I haven't screwed up this badly since I made Cosby. Oh. Sorry, everyone. This is my bad. This one's on me.
Oh, ouch, yo. This is Wacky Town, eh, yo. Ow. This is bogus. Town, eh?
Red Hot Chili Peppers on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
By the way, just after 8 o'clock this morning, we're going to talk to a movie legend, Kane Hodder. You may not know the name, but you know him as Jason from the Friday the 13th movies.
Leatherface 2, bitches. Let's not forget.
Yeah, that's a 1-2 punch right there for horror movie fans. Anyway, he has a fascinating story. Mr. Hodder will be joining us just after 8 o'clock this morning. First, though, it's Monday morning. Rob is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Speaking of legendary showbiz interactions, Captain America versus Iron Man, right? Civil War. Oh, so good.
So good.
So good.
You guys did not like it?
So good.
So good.
Sounds like they didn't care for it, Allie.
I'm not getting that.
Did you see it, Allie?
No.
Did you see it, Bean?
I did not.
Then, oh, pipe down. You don't know.
So good.
So good. Chip, you saw it, right?
Yeah.
So good, right?
So good.
So good.
So good.
Dave saw it.
Dave saw it.
So good.
Wow.
Did you see it in IMAX 3D? Kev?
I didn't. I didn't.
Just 2D?
The time didn't work out. Yeah,
2D's on 2D.
I'm gonna see it again though. So
Charbroiled. I saw it IMAX 3D.
That's the way to see it. I gotta agree with
Kevin.
You.
Saw it in my friend Kevin Smith saw it in 4DX.
What's that?
You're not familiar with 4DX?
No.
Ugh. Come on, Grandpa, get with the times.
4DX.
4DX. That's the theater down by LA Live where you get into the theater. And they have programmed the theater to respond to the film while you're immersed in it.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, when they go to that secret lab in Siberia where the other Winter Soldiers are being
kept. Hey, spoiler alert.
It's not a spoiler alert. No. The Winter Soldier program is more than just one Winter Soldier. And the snow starts to fall. In your theater, snow starts to fall in your theater.
That's pretty cool.
The chairs are all motion chairs, so when the action's going on, your chair is turning and pitching back and forth and up and down and reacting to the action that's happening on the screen.
Huh.
Do we want
see
that?
It again.
As bullets are whizzing by
that.
Your head,
bullets.
Puffs of air are shooting past your head, so it feels like bullets are whizzing by.
Sniper up there.
Not actual bullets, Kevin, no.
40X! That's pretty cool. I'm going to have to try that.
They can do it with any movie. They take the movie and then they program the special effects present in the facility to respond to scenes that are happening on the film.
And anyone can go to this?
Yes!
Really?
Yes!
Sure?
How many movies have they prepped for this treatment?
Oh, once again, you have to take a perfectly good thing, and now I can't answer your
I'm
many
questions.
I'm
just asking. I don't know. Is this something that's common,
yes,
or is this the first movie
no,
they've done it
they've
for?
They've done it with other films as well.
All right.
The future of movie watching.
Like when Paul Blart runs into a pane of glass.
They take you and they physically run you through a pane of glass. Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, they don't. They do it for like big blockbuster movies that have a lot of special effects, but it's like being in one of those motion rides. You know, when you go to Universal and you go to the Simpsons ride or Back to the Future used to be or whatever, as you're watching what's happening on the screen, your chair is bucking and pitching so that you feel like you are also in the action.
You need to try that.
Right?
You need to try it right now.
Right.
I hope they do it for barbershop because then you can get a haircut at the same time you're at the movies and save some time.
Feel like you're helping
because you could walk in and see that film and then come out and have it be high and tight.
Yeah,
sadly, it's on. We need to talk to someone about this 4DX.
Yeah, I agree.
Talk to someone because it's I had never heard about it until Smith told me about it during How They Babylon, and then I had another friend who saw it that way this weekend and their head exploded. So,
the only movie that I wouldn't want to see that way is Brothers Grimsby.
You ain't kidding.
You would. You would crawl right inside.
I would not
yes,
want,
you would.
No, sir.
Yep.
Uh-uh.
No.
No, sir.
Anyway, the reason we are singing the praises of Captain America: Civil War, $182 million at the box office.
Just that.
That's all. Jungle Book was second with $22 million. Then Mother's Day, The Huntsman, Winter's War, and Keanu were the top five films. Barbershop, The Next Cut at six. Zootopia, The Boss, Ratchet and Clank. And Batman v Superman at number 10.
I guess the only reason Captain America didn't make more and set more records probably is because of its length, right, Ralph? Maybe doesn't have quite as many showings as a 90-minute movie might.
That and you know, basketball players were going on this weekend, stuff and everything. There was a few distractions, but I think this movie has what they say in the business legs. I think it's going to be very successful for many, many weeks to come because everybody who comes out of it is just saying they can't wait to go back and see it again.
Yep.
And it's funny with Captain America: Civil War at 1 and Batman v Superman at 10. Doesn't Civil War make you even less happy with Batman v Superman?
First of all, I've been told that I love Batman v Superman.
And that's what I meant to say, too. Right. We love that film.
Right.
Right.
But if it's possible, you loved Captain America Civil War even more, if it's possible.
It's not possible, but if it was, I would.
Yes. I'm just saying, because they're basically, told. You know, the premise is two high-powered superheroes pitted against each other. And you see how one group of people executed that idea, and then how another group of people executed that idea.
Both now, perfect.
I'm not saying which one is better. I'm just saying you've seen two examples of that in recent films, and it would just give you an ability to compare and contrast the success and or failure therein.
If you thought that one
but
was better than the
even,
other.
I wouldn't even hazard a guess as to say which one was better than the other.
Because that's ridiculous.
Because I'm sure they're both
masterpieces.
Equally masterful
that's right.
in their execution. So there you have it. Hey, you got any Prince blood in you?
I don't think so.
Well, you may be the only one. New York Post says 700 people have now claimed to be related to Prince and are standing in line to get a share of his estate. This is what happens when you don't have a will and a direct descendant. People will descend upon you. Harvey Morse is the name of the guy who runs the Morse Genealogical Services, and he has told the UK's Daily Mail that he's gotten close to 1,000 calls from people who say Prince was their cousin or they lived in the same neighborhood where Prince grew up, and he thinks that he had something with his mom, and anyway, just endless lists of people who say somehow, some way, there are some familial relation with Prince, and now they've got their hand out. They're looking for a little something. Harvey says,
I'm going to say none of them are related to Prince.
Well, Harvey says he's looking at all official documents of people who actually do register a claim, births and death certificates, marriage licenses, census reports. And last week, a probate judge did give Prince's administrators the okay to get a blood sample from the medical examiner for DNA tests. So as these things come up and as people demand DNA tests, if the court deems them a worthy challenge, I suppose, then they will have DNA from Prince's blood to be able to use to compare against other people. So it'll be a long road to hoe for those people to get that settled.
We'll announce the results on an all-new Maury.
You are not Prince's cousin. Axl Rose made his debut Saturday night as the lead singer of AC/DC. How about that? Still sitting there in Dave Grohl's throne, thanks to his foot injury. They did a 19-song set with a 3-song encore. And they ended with, "For those about to rock, we salute you." I love that song. By all accounts, everyone was there. Said Axl was in great voice. The band sounded top-notch. It was a wildly successful show.
All right.
So there you go. It's a pretty decent fan shot video of the entire Lisbon concert, by the way, up on YouTube if you want to check it out and see how Axl did. You can find it there.
Axl DC, they're calling it, by the way.
Axl DC!
See?
Because it's AC/DC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With Axl. That sounds like one of our games we would play for tickets or
yes,
something.
It does.
That was a little game we like to call Axl DC.
Then we'd go back in the office and go, that's the best we could do.
Really, we should have come up with something better than that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Let's have Allie sing AC/DC song.
Good. I don't think anyone.
Good, so
anyone
good.
Needs
don't
that?
Tell her. Don't tell her we have
okay,
a game.
I can hear
idea.
You, first of all, and no one needs it.
I think she's listening. Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Joel, 67. Dave Gahan. Hello, I'm Dave Gahan. The best. He has a little hiccup in his name there. He is 54. And Rosario Dawson, Road Doss to her friends. She is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:08.
You want to try that story again for Allie? Because
I do not.
I think she missed some of the
subtleties
of it.
I don't know how.
That was a skit or in real life?
Hey, that was the Yeah Yeah Yeahs on K-Rock?
Yeah.
How long has it been since we've heard that song?
2003.
I love that song so much. That's one of the songs that Beyonce samples on her new album, too, by the way. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet, Kevin. That Beyonce album is so great. I cannot stop listening to it. She samples everybody from Led Zeppelin to Animal Collective to the Yeah Yeah Yeahs on this record. And it's really, really just masterfully put together. Anyway, speaking of new records, we'll talk Radiohead coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show because that came out yesterday morning as well.
All right, let's talk about neighbor ordeals, bad neighbors. Seems to happen a lot. And it happened to Minnie Driver recently. Apparently, there was a big fight last Tuesday. She went ballistic on a guy who was a delivery driver who was taking something to his house, mistakenly parked in front of her driveway.
Uh-oh. Taking something to a neighbor's house, right.
To a neighbor's house, my bet, and blocked her driveway.
Well, and nobody wants their driveway blocked.
Agreed. They were screaming loudly at each other. Police were called to calm the situation. Officers warned them that the feud was a civil matter, which should be settled in court, and it just exploded from there.
Well, I think what's going on, as I understand the TMZ story with actress Minnie Driver, is that if this had been the first time that something like this had happened, a guy pulls up for a couple of minutes in front of her driveway, then it probably would have been no big deal. But it seems like this is the latest in an escalating war between these two neighbors, where they have often screamed at each other. They seem to have some sort of a property dispute. I mean, the neighbor has been ordered to stay 15 yards away from Minnie Driver. And you know they're
15 yards is not very far.
It's not very far at all.
He has to live next door.
You know that they're just going to run into each other. And I can't – thank God I've never been in a situation like this where I've had some sort of a seething, ongoing, like really serious – debate or controversy or argument with a neighbor, because I would think that you would always feel unease.
Yeah, it's just miserable.
It's miserable. You can't just relax at home because you're always afraid your bastard neighbor's going to come out. And by the way, it's possible you're the bastard and your neighbor is rightfully feeling the same way about you. I don't know who's right and who's wrong in this situation, but I do know that, as Kevin said, it does happen pretty often where you've got people who just shouldn't be living next to each other.
Happened to me. On
what?
Both sides. And I know that you're both going to think, oh, yeah. Wait a minute, maybe the problem is you.
Well, yeah. There's a common denominator in these stories, Kevin. Before you tell your story, right. Let me throw out the phone lines for people who want to call at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for bad neighbor stories, neighbor feuds that are going on between you and the people you live near. We want to hear your stories. 1-800-520-1067. All right, we'll be the judge of who's in the right and who's in the wrong in your neighborhood, Kevin.
All right, so we're moving into our house the very first day, and we bring our dog over, and our dog, which is really well trained, but was barking during the day that day because it was a new environment and we were moving in. Knock on the door. I'm gone. My wife answers the door. The guy says, good news and bad news. The good news is we're your neighbors.
Okay.
The bad news is you're going to have to put your dog down.
Oh, no. Those aren't real words that came out of a real human's mouth.
They are.
Wait, hold on.
Because I went over and talked to him.
Wait, hold on.
And he said the same thing to me.
He went right to put your dog down.
Yes.
Not, hey, I don't know if you noticed, your dog is barking a lot. Is there anything you can do? Could you be a little bit more considerate? Keep your dog inside. Right to put the dog down.
Gonna have to put the dog down.
So what did you say to him?
I don't remember exactly, but I'm sure it was something along the lines of, are you crazy?
Yeah. That's
because that's an insane,
not normal.
Like Bean says, you skipped over the first 100 steps before you get to threatening someone's dog.
Yeah.
Right.
So then he said he was going to call the animal control and the whole thing. And I had video proof of like 2 weeks straight of video of my dog really almost never barking during the day, which is, by the way, not easy. But, and then just nothing came of it. We didn't talk for about 5 years, and now it's been, I don't know, 15. Haven't said a word to him.
And so, this is your direct next door neighbor.
Neighbor to my right, yes.
So the relationship was soured in the first hour that you lived there.
Yes.
And you guys have never patched up since then.
Correct.
Isn't that fascinating?
But they stopped complaining, and so we had no reason of, you know, talking to them. So
do you ever see them?
Kept to ourselves. Occasionally.
They'll be walking out of the car or something like that. You just look the other way?
You just go, you don't exist. You don't exist.
Oh, weird.
I'm going to hide.
All right.
Okay,
that's weird.
So, whose fault?
Your neighbor.
Thank you.
That was his
Let's
fault.
Move on to neighbor number two.
Neighbor number two on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They have this janky fence up. So we said, well, let's, you know, do you mind? I went over to him and I said, do you mind if we, like, maybe we could split it 50-50 and we could build a new fence? And he's like, no, I don't like that. And I was like, well, it's sort of kind of, you know, it's not a very good fence. So would you...
Meaning it's not secure or that it's an eyesore or what?
Both. It was sort of a weak chain length kind of not their half their fence with some holes in it and stuff. So I was like, let's get an actual fence.
Sure.
So he said, no. So I said, well, okay. I mean, I guess I'll just build a fence on my property then.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
issue over.
He can't stop you from building your own fence next to his.
Right? I'll tear it down.
He'll tear down your fence?
That's what he said. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, I'll tear your fence down. And I said, no, you misunderstand. I'm saying we'll build it on our property. Thinking that, of course, he didn't understand that.
Obviously.
And he said, I'll tear it down. Now, here's how you know that you're in the wrong. Because when I say, when the words come out of my mouth, what are you, in third grade? I mean, really.
Right.
Right?
Right.
What was his rationale for tearing down your fence?
Dude, there's no rationale with people like that. There just isn't. There's just, I like things the way they are, don't change them. Because I kept saying, no, you don't understand. I'm going to put it on my, entirely on my side of the
line.
It's
your fence.
Right. I could put up a 100-foot wall if I wanted.
And did you?
A 100-foot wall.
No, did you put up the fence?
Put up the fence, never said a word.
And still haven't talked to this neighbor?
Not one word.
Wow.
Kevin, this is so weird. So you haven't talked to either of your neighbors in like 20 years.
Charbroil!
I don't know if you're burning them.
They were, I feel like, and you guys be the judge, they were dicks to me.
Absolutely.
I stood up for myself, and they just backed down and didn't say anything again.
So is that, they in the lifetime cone of silence as a result of that one misunderstanding early on?
I mean, occasionally there's something happened, like they go out of town and their house alarm is going off. You know, in the middle of the night.
Right.
They have cameras everywhere. So occasionally I have to put on a ski mask and jump over the fence and go, you know, disconnect speakers or whatever is necessary to make sure that you can get the rest that you need.
Okay.
I mean, occasionally that happens, but not very often.
So why don't you know the people who live across the street from you yet?
Wow.
Aren't they due for a visit from you?
That I'm saying, I know something. I know that it's hard to believe that both of these things happen and both of them are not my fault because I know me, but that's what I'm telling you.
All right. Well, I mean, I think they were both in the wrong in that case.
Yes.
It's just weird that decades have gone by and you guys haven't gotten over it. That's the weird part of the story for me.
Don't know them. Don't talk to them. Nothing.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take Tom real quick in line 7, please. Montebello before the break, and then we'll get everybody else's phone calls. Tom, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling Neighbor Disputes. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Tom.
Growing up, there was this lady, our neighbor. She was nice to me when I was a kid, but later on she started taking metal spikes onto our fence line and start digging our dirt onto her side. And wasn't secretive about it. She would just do it outright in the daytime until my mom started taking pictures of her. And she would
She just needed more dirt on her side of the fence?
She just, I don't know what it was. She might have gotten angry at something. She just started digging our flower bed out and just taking the dirt. And we had already argued with her. The police were called several times until they said to her, grow up or you're going to jail.
Oh,
and
wow.
Even her family disowned her, and now, you know, she's dead now. But
killed her.
Wow, you really took care of her.
Well, finally, she needed all that dirt for something.
Can't say that. Legality. Nope.
Oh, I see. So you're backing away from the accusation that you killed her, just choosing not to comment. I see.
The whole neighborhood hated her. She was the local witch of the block.
She was the Kevin of your neighborhood.
How dare you, sir?
Thank you for the call, Tom.
She wasn't drinking.
1-800-520-1067. Bad neighbor calls. Next from you on K-Rock. Actress Minnie Driver in another shouting match with her neighbor. It's been going on for a long time. Those two kids should not live next to each other.
Yeah.
That's the conclusion we're coming to. And it seems like a lot of people are in that situation. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Neighbor Disputes. Let's talk to Gia. She's in L.A. Line 1, please, to get us going.
Hey, Gia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Yes, we had a crazy neighbor. We don't remember his name because we just called him Crazy or Crazy Man or Old Goat. He would call parking enforcement if you were parked more than 18 inches from the curb. If you didn't have a front license plate, if you he'd call the city if you had your trash cans out too early. He called child services on one neighbor and had, I don't know what he said, but the kids ended up being strip searched at the school to make sure they didn't have any abusive marks.
Oh my goodness.
It was horrible. The wife never came back. She told the husband, pack everything up. We're not coming back. We're moving. That was the last straw.
Did you ever have any personal conversations with this person?
Not so much. Kind of yelling back and forth. He was about three houses down.
So you don't really know what his damage was. Like, what was going on with him that made him supervise so closely everybody in the neighborhood?
No, I don't know. No, I don't. I know where he moved from. He had lived in an apartment originally before he moved into a home. And the people in the apartment threatened to burn the whole apartment down just to get rid of him.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Man.
Yes. Did he go by yes. Kevin or by Mr. Ryder? Do you remember that?
Dare you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Gio. We appreciate it. Wow, when you get called for putting your trash cans out too early, I mean, now we're talking minutia, right? Let's try Mitchell, line 4, please. He's in Sherman Oaks as we continue our bad neighbors conversation. Hey, Mitchell.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good, thank you. Your neighbor?
My neighbor. He called the cops on me for barbecuing at my 5-year-old's birthday party.
Well, what right do you have to... Wait, you were barbecuing? What's wrong with that?
I was barbecuing.
How do you call the cops for barbecue?
Well, it's an apartment complex, and I have my barbecue pit by the pool, and apparently it was going into his house. So instead of coming out and telling me anything, he just called the cops.
That's always he was getting some of the smoke. I got you.
That's always a weak first move if you call a cop without actually talking to somebody.
Exactly. So he called the cops, and the cops were like, I don't know why we're here. They started asking me barbecue tips, and then they left. And me and him haven't spoken at all.
How do you do ribs usually? You do 5 minutes on each side?
Thank you, sir. I bet so many police officers get called to many BS things, don't they?
Yep.
All right, Mitchell, appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's try Jasmine, please, in Arcadia, line 6.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hi, I have a neighbor who refuses to cut his lawn.
And it
just makes his house look disgusting.
Okay, and have you talked to him about it?
We have. My mom has told him that, you know, I'll go to the county, and she's tried pushing him to mow his lawn, but he just refuses to.
But usually doesn't something like that get kicked up to a point where they force him to do it, right? Like the county sends somebody out, and then they send him a bill. Isn't that how those things are usually resolved?
I'm not sure how it works. My mom has contacted the county a couple times, but it's still there.
Your mom needs to put on a black mask and just go out at night and just mow the crap out of that lawn.
I wonder what his reason is for not doing it.
I don't know. It used to be a really nice house when his mom took care of the house, but now it looks so bad.
Yeah, well, that's no fun. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Christian, please. Brea, line 8.
Hey, Christian, welcome to the Kevin DeVito. Hi.
Hi. I had a neighborly feud. It happened, I would say, a few years ago. So the place that we live in now is in a condo complex. And so the previous owners that were there, they were friends with one of the neighbors. So my dad's very territorial because he's very clean with his cars and he keeps maintenance. So he noticed that.
You have lost me with every sentence that has come out of your mouth, Christian. None of it is connected. None of it makes sense. None of it addresses the question we asked you to begin with.
Let's start again.
Hey, Christian.
Okay, I was just saying, okay, so what had happened was, I'll just cut to the chase and tell what I usually do. So our neighbor where we live right now, he was using our hose, and my dad, this is where I was doing the inside, he doesn't like anyone touching his car stuff. He doesn't like touching hose. And
Listen. We love you. We love you. You're a good guy.
We're glad you're listening.
You guys, I think it was a hose. And his dad, it was his dad's hose, and the neighbor was using the hose, and he likes a clean car.
Yeah, why wouldn't you have said that? Just say, my neighbor was using my dad's hose.
Line 2.
That's a quick story.
I think I read of that movie, too, by the way. Line 2 is Cynthia in Hawthorne. Let's see if she can redeem the segment.
Hey, Cynthia.
What it do?
Does your story involve a hose?
Sorry, no hose.
No. Okay. It wasn't us, Cynthia, right? It was Christian, right? We were having trouble following history.
Christian.
It was totally Christian. Okay. All right. Let's see if we can do better with you. Go ahead.
So in my case, I live on the 3rd floor, and my second story neighbors would bump music and party starting at 11 on to 4 in the morning.
Okay.
So, like, after curfew hours. So that, I think, justifies me not having to go downstairs and you know, duke it out with them. We would file noise complaints all the time with the cops, and to get back at us, they would just smoke all day while our windows were open and park in our designated spot.
So free weed. Your complaint is you got free weed.
Secondhand. I guess so. But I mean, think about, in my case, think no AC in an apartment complex, and you're on the third floor where it's hot, and
right.
you can't close the windows when you're just getting a secondhand high because it's too hot.
Right.
I'm with Kevin. If you're complaining about a secondhand high, you're not going to get too much sympathy from this room. Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate it. Let's do one more.
Yes, this is going to be Rick. I think you'll love this one. Line one, please, North Hills.
All right. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
My bad neighbor story. I lived in North Hills, and back there they have the houses kind of like butt up to each other, so our bedroom windows kind of faced each other, and these neighbors would complain about our dogs barking, which they didn't bark that much, but they would complain and complain and complain. So every morning they would put their radio against their window facing our house towards my bedroom window, at 5 a.m., and it'd be Kevin and Bean.
Oh, that is that's cruel and
super
unusual.
Annoying.
So wow, I was fine because I wake up to you guys anyway, so I'm like, oh, there's my radio.
They just saved you the electricity.
Exactly.
Great,
thanks,
Rick.
Thanks for calling, Rick.
Keep your eye on KROQ.com for all the details on this Saturday's live broadcast from the sold-out KROQ Weenie Rose 2016 at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Or if you'd prefer to be there with us in person, we're going to give you a chance to call in about 25 minutes or so from right now. We're going to be looking for your fan songs. Now, what we mean by this is songs that you sing. It can be a parody of somebody else's song, or it can be something that you've written about how much you want to go, or how much you love the Weenie Roast, or how much you love a particular band on the Weenie Roast. So we're going to be taking your calls in about 25 minutes or so on this, and we thought maybe just to kind of get you primed a little bit, what's this piece of tape that we have we're going to play?
This is Brendan from Panic at the Disco.
All right.
He
did his own fan song.
That's correct, yes.
I just got the lineup for Weenie Rose, and here's a few bands I think that you should know. We got Empire of the Sun and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Weezer and Garbage, and a set by the Strumbellas, Nothing But Thieves, and Lucas Graham, Fitz in the Tantrum, Bishop in Bare Hands, can't forget about the Lumineers, hey! And then you got a set by the Cold War Kids, and also we got Mike Snow and my band, Panic at the Disco. And that's the Weenie Rose 2016. I hope that you can make it on May 14th. And if you don't, just know that you're missing out. For real, though.
Oh, come on. He's the come on.
Best.
He is the best, yeah.
So you it gave me a boner.
Yeah, it
was
did. Great, Allie. It was
yeah.
great.
You don't have to be that good.
Sorry.
But write a song.
1-800-520-1067. Not now, though. That'll be the number you'll need in about 25 minutes or so to win your tickets in the front row for the Weenie Roast. All right, speaking of music, yesterday was a big day, a long-awaited day for Radiohead fans. They don't do a tremendous amount of promotion leading up to a new record coming out. It just appears one day.
That's true.
And I think we had about 2 days' notice that the album was going to be coming out this yesterday, Sunday. It's called A Moon-Shaped Pool. It is Radiohead's 9th studio album. And like with the last few Radiohead albums, it's not, for many people, a first-listen record. Would you say that's fair to say?
Sure.
Here's one review from the Wall Street Journal. Suffice it to say for now that A Moon-Shaped Pool, Radiohead once again communicates complex human experience through superb musicianship, boundless creativity, and unwillingness to settle for the ordinary. You don't hear those words written about a lot of pop stars, but we thought it might be fun to listen to a little bit of the new Radiohead album, including the first single that we've been playing a lot here on KROQ, which is probably the most, I would say, accessible song on the album, the one that sounds most like a Radiohead song that might have been made 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
Right.
And it's called Burn the Witch. It's pretty good.
This is love.
That song probably has the most guitar of any of the songs on the album. They don't tend to do much with guitar anymore.
Yeah.
For a band that kind of started out as a rock band, they are so much more orchestral now. So much of the stuff sounds more like soundtrack stuff. They're not exactly a rock band anymore, and they're not exactly an EDM band. They're kind of doing their own thing right there in the middle, don't you think?
Sort of. I mean, it's more atmospheric than
yes.
anything
yeah.
to me.
Atmospheric. Here's what will be the second single from the record, apparently. This is called Daydreaming.
Dreamers, they never learn.
That's something you get a facial done to. like
All right. I like that song.
Chip,
where
they, Chip,
where they
Chip.
Extract her porn?
I need that tape. She's already marking it. It now.
Yep.
Done.
Porn.
I'm sorry again, Ellie.
Skin tone.
Right.
Uh-huh. That kind
of that's what you meant.
All that, right?
That's what you meant.
Uh huh.
I could see. Here's the thing about Radiohead for me, and I consider myself a big Radiohead fan, but in the last few albums, their music has become more background than it has foreground. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Here's another piece of a track from the new A Moon-Shaped Pool from Radiohead. This one's called Full Stop.
I mean, vocals are really buried in that one, though.
Your mileage may vary on how much you get out of a song that kind of sounds like that. It's kind of jazz. In other words, the way it kind of swirls around and kind of works back toward itself. I mean, there aren't very many people as popular as they are that are doing what they do. That's for sure. A lot of Radiohead fans have noticed, by the way, that many of the songs on this record are songs that the band has been playing or playing parts of in concert for many, many years, including a studio version of True Love Waits, which is a song that they released on a live album like almost 20 years ago. So it's almost like they're kind of clearing out the cupboards a little bit of some of these odds and ends that they've been hanging on to for a while. Here's another track from A Moon-Shaped Pool. This one's called Identikit. He's got a great voice, though. Got to give Tom York that. And I will say one more thing about Radiohead, which is that they are still in a battle with Spotify, so you still can't get the album on Spotify, just those first two songs we played. The rest of the album is not available. You can buy it on Amazon or iTunes. You can also stream it through Apple Music and Tidal. But it is out as of yesterday, if you weren't paying attention over the weekend. New Radiohead, A Moon-Shaped Pool.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
And we'll talk to actor and stuntman Kane Hodder coming up just after 8 o'clock. He's Jason in the Friday the 13th movies, don't you know?
He's a legend. He was Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He's an icon of the genre.
Yeah.
And
fascinating documentary.
And also has lived just the life, man. Just from the heights to the lows.
Laughter, sad, cry?
All that. All the arts. Yeah.
Well, the part, and we'll talk to him about this, the part in his Indiegogo video where he talks about his face being on fire.
Oof.
And hearing his hair burn.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
That's when you realize, it's not a job for everyone. But he's real good at it, so we'll talk to Kane coming up and your front row tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose next half hour as well. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Kane?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming out. Don't forget to tip your waiters and your waitresses. They're working hard for you. What's that face all about, Allie?
It's the only one I have. I can't help it.
Hey, am I the only one? I can't be the only one. Who is wildly excited, looking forward to The Nice Guys? Have you seen the commercials and trailer for The Nice Guys?
I have seen the commercials for that, and it looks funny.
I can't wait for this film. How did Ryan Gosling become Dreamboat, America's Sweetheart, ladies love him, to like one of the funniest comic actors working today? He has totally transitioned.
Yeah, true.
From what he once was, heartthrob, to, I think, one of the funniest guys working. I mean, Big Short alone, that performance was insanely funny.
Yeah, he was great.
And this looks just as good. It's a team-up of Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, starring as 70s Los Angeles private investigators. And I just love that era. I love that genre. P.I. movie set in the 70s in L.A. I just cannot wait for this film. It's called The Nice Guys. We are doing a very special K-Rock advanced screening of The Nice Guys at the TCL Chinese Theater on May 17th. The movie's not in theaters until May the 20th, but you'll get to see it early. Kim Basinger also stars. It just looks terrific. I cannot wait to see The Nice Guys. If you'd like to see it early at our K-Rock advanced screening, why don't you call right
now? Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
There you go.
I love you.
I love you too, Dotel. Call right now. First five callers through with that phone number, we'll get a pair of passes to our K-Rock advanced screening of
The Nice Guys. You'll see me there because I want to see it, so I will be at this screening. I will be taking up a precious seat that would belong to one of our valued listeners.
Okay.
But I will push them gladly to the curb to make way for me to see The Nice Guys early.
Asshole!
Oh, come on, kids! I got it. How about give the drummer some? Speaking of movies, Captain America Civil War did pretty well for its opening weekend. If you consider $182 million, pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The film's amazing. Boy, it's just a success on every level. Didn't it feel like it was about 8 minutes long?
Yeah.
It runs a good 2.5 hours.
And I can't wait to go back and see it again.
And it just zips by. Spider-Man? We didn't even talk about Spider-Man.
It was so good.
Best Spider-Man ever on the screen, right?
By far.
There's been 5 Spider-Man movies? Best Spider-Man ever.
Agreed.
Yeah, motherfucker.
He knows.
Our guy knows. Guy in anesthesia knows.
Jungle Book was $22 million, made it number 2. Mother's Day was 3rd. Huntsman Winter's War, 4th. Keanu, 5th. Barbershop, The Next Cut, came in at number 6. Then Zootopia, The Boss, Ratchet and Clank, and Batman v Superman at number 10. Speaking of Batman, if you're not following me on Twitter, first of all, shame on you. But go to my Twitter account, at Ralph Garman. I'm giving away an amazing collectible from the Batman TV show. It's about a 24-inch tall statue of Adam West as Batman. I'm going to be giving one of those away.
What's going on?
So go to at Ralph Garman on Twitter, and I'll give you all the details so you can get rid of that. Because it's, it's a really cool thing.
Why are you giving it away, Ralph?
Well, the folks that are making it, they contact me and said, have you seen this new product of mine? And I said, no, I haven't. And I saw it, and I fell in love with it. And they said, would you like, we know a lot of your people who follow you are fans of the TV show and Adam West, and you helped get him a star on the Walk of Fame and stuff. Would you like to give one away to one of your fans who listens to you, or Babylon, or K-Rock, or whatever? And I said, yeah, I would like to do that.
And is this like all your other Twitter games where I have to show you pictures of my boobs in order to win?
Well, yeah, I'm not an idiot. So put them on the glass.
Right?
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, so they're just doing that. You say, all right, we'll just give you one. And you can give it to somebody.
All right.
Like, it looks really real.
Yeah, it's kind of it's
like you
wild.
See his rib cage and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to touch it.
Oh. His rib cage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to do my laundry on it.
What?
It looks like a washboard.
Mm.
Hmm.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm. We can't guarantee its cleanliness, however, for this conversation.
Why you gotta be like that, Kevin? Why don't you turn things bad?
Oh, yeah, I turn things bad.
Speaking of things turning bad, Sharon and Ozzy.
Oh, yeah.
Broken up. Can you believe it? After all this time, have they been here like 33 years or something?
33 years, that's what I hear, yeah.
Everyone's saying this time's the real deal, yo. This isn't about drugs or drinking. This is about the Prince of Darkness reportedly carrying on an affair with a hairdresser. That's not very Prince of Darkness-y, by the way.
Yeah, true.
Sleeping with a hairdresser. That's kind of soft.
A little pedestrian for
right? Me. Shouldn't he be sleeping with like a succubus or a vampire or something? Yeah.
Okay.
Or a dragon? Shouldn't he be having an affair with a dragon or a bat?
I think maybe you're getting real world and fantasy maybe it's confused possible. A bit.
I'm very drunk this morning.
I'm worried about Ozzy, by the way. I feel like he's somebody who needs Sharon.
Come on, who's going to bounce back and be fine on their own better than Ozzy?
Well,
who's more resilient? Who's more capable?
He doesn't know how to use a coffee maker. All
he's
right?
probably out in the woods just fending for himself. He's probably snaring jackrabbits and then cooking them over an open flame.
I don't think he seems likely to be doing any of those things.
He's like the Bear Grylls of rock and roll.
He used to
I don't
scream.
Get that vibe.
He's
totally self-sufficient.
Mm. Really? Because I just remember him screaming for Sharon because he didn't know how to answer a phone.
Oh, beam.
Turn on a TV.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this
use
one.
A microwave. He couldn't do any of those things.
Well, because he's a man of the world. What? Not of your modern technology. He's grounded to the earth.
Oh, I misread the situation then. He's fine.
He's more than fine. He'll make rock soup with a bunch of hobos. Become their
that
leader.
Doesn't sound fine.
Become their leader. He'll be the leader of the hobos.
He's probably building a palace right now out of found lumber.
Yes. Out of an old train car. I look forward to checking it.
You do.
That's not, none of this is funny, by the way. It's all sad.
Right.
We wish them all the best. Yeah. But apparently he's been in touch with the kids, but he is, as a rep confirms, Ozzy is not in the marital home.
Hmm.
So, of course not. He's in a boxcar. Right. Down by the railroad tracks. We just told you. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Billy Joel, 67 years old today. Depeche Mode singer Dave Gahan celebrates his 54th birthday. Rosario Dawson, right?
Weren't we just talking about Josie and the Pussycats on Friday?
We were, you're right.
And she was one of them.
One of our favorite fictional bands, Josie and the Pussycats. Rachel Lee Cook, I want to say it was Josie. And I think Rodas was...
No one calls her Rodas.
I think Rodas was Tiffany. Melody. Melody.
Come on.
I think she was Melody. I'm trying to remember the Pussycats' names. Do you know the Pussycats' names?
No.
I know I don't.
Yeah. All right, then. And you're an Archie fan, but
I am.
Bean, that came from the Archie universe.
I don't recall the girls' names.
Oh, can't wait for Josie v. Sabrina, that big budget motion picture. It's going to be awesome.
That is going to be good.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Before we go to our guest, Kevin, let's open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. We have been telling you all morning long, now is going to be the time to call for your sold-out front-row tickets for K-Rock's Weenie Rose 2016 this Saturday at Irvine. What are we looking for?
We are looking for fan songs. So it can be a song that you write. It can be an original about you being at Weenie Rose and why you need to be there over everybody else. It can be a parody of one of the band's songs. Anything that you want to do, it just has to be a fan song. It has to be about you going to the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Someone will win front row seats coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. We've been looking forward to this one all week long when we found out that Mr. Kane Hodder was going to be joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is an icon of modern horror cinema. Perhaps you know his work, oh, I don't know, as freaking Jason. How about that in the Friday the 13th movies? He has a fascinating Indiegogo project up online right now that we want to talk about and we all want to contribute. To Mr. Hodder, welcome to the show, sir. Real pleasure to have you.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be with you. I wish I could be there live, but I've been a little under the weather lately with a little bronchitis, so we're doing it this way. Sorry about that.
It's not a problem. We're happy to have you. Your phone sounds great. So you have an Indiegogo up. It's somebody decided it's time to make a movie about this man. He has had a fascinating life, right?
Well, yes, absolutely. A company called Masterfully Macabre decided to do a documentary about my life because there was such a good response from the public about my book, Unmasked, that they thought they should go a little more in depth and do a documentary about it. So I'm very happy about that.
Now, you've been in show business for about 40 years as an actor and as a stuntman, right?
That's correct. And, you know, at the beginning, all of my work was stunts. And in the last 10 years, it's pretty much turned all to acting. I mean, I've been doing comedies lately. I did a movie called Smothered, where it's a horror comedy written and directed by John Schneider, which was a lot of fun. I love doing comedy. I just finished a movie in Philly called Death House, which is not comedic at all. But
it doesn't
really
sound comedic.
Sorry. But has all my buddies and friends from horror in it, which is great. And even more fun, I did the mocap for Friday the 13th, the video game. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, which comes out, I think, sometime in September or something. And, you know, so I've been doing all kinds of different stuff. And I've always appreciated the fans and love doing the conventions and stuff. So that's why we decided to go ahead and do the documentary.
Well, the movie looks great because your friends, including Elvira and Robert Englund and Bruce Campbell, and just all these names are in the thing talking about you and talking about how much they like you and respect your work and what a legend you are. And one of the things that comes up in the preview video on Indiegogo is about a horrific burn accident you had as a young man. And that changed your whole life, didn't it, Kane?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I was just beginning my stunt career. It was my first professional year in the stunt business, and I got burned really badly and then unfortunately had not good care at the beginning for the burn. So it turned into a complete nightmare that, you know, I talk about in great depth. And, you know, because it's an injury where you get to be reminded of it every day you look in the mirror. So it's kind of a tough thing physically, obviously, to get through, but also emotionally, it's a really tough thing to overcome because you're constantly reminded of it.
What percentage of your body got burned and what parts of your body, Kane?
Almost all upper body and about 45 to 50%.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of, you know, mostly third degree, so there was numerous skin grafting procedures and stuff, and it's just a really tough injury, and I was only 22 at the time, so,
wow. How did that affect what you did as a stuntman in years afterward? Did you turn down a lot of sorts of jobs because you feared they might be dangerous?
I never did, really. It's an interesting question because you would have thought I would maybe at least decide to not do fire stunts.
Well, I mean,
anymore.
That's how we would decide that. Right.
And what I did was ended up not doing them for a little while, a couple of years. And then I thought, you know what? I always enjoyed doing a fire stunt when it went successfully, of course. But so I ended up kind of specializing in that in the years to come.
Oh, wow.
Kane. One of my favorite. Yeah, I know.
You're a terrible decision maker.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but one of my favorite fire stunts I ever did was as Jason in Part 7. And I still love that fire stunt. It's so huge and scary looking, and that's why I always liked doing fire stunts, because it's so terrifying to see someone on fire.
Yeah, it sure is, and even more terrifying to be on fire, though.
Yes, and then, you know, that's another reason we have the Indiegogo thing. It's you can get to it, I think, KaneHotterMovie.com is the easiest way to get to it. But the burn unit that I finally got to, which saved my life, is in San Francisco at St. Francis Hospital called Boffin. I assume it's still called the same thing, but... it was just recently in Boffin Burn Unit, and we're trying to give back to that burn unit because it was obviously the one place that saved my life, and we want to give back to the unit and the staff and everything. Even though it's been that long, it's still it's such a big part of my...
Hey, they saved your life, Kane. You don't get over that. No matter how long you live, they saved your life. So that's great.
They really did.
I assume that it would be sort of the same everywhere and that all hospitals could handle burns like that. What went wrong with the first hospital you went to?
Well, yeah, that is not the case. Most hospitals are not equipped to handle a burn injury like I had. It has to be a hospital that has a self-contained burn unit.
Oh, I see.
It. Because the unit itself has to be just completely sterile environment. And that's such a critical part of burn recovery, is being in a sterile environment. And if you're in a regular hospital, that is not the case.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you're so vulnerable without skin. You're so you're prone to infections, yeah.
And because I didn't have the proper care at first, I got a staph infection and it almost killed me and stuff. So the burn unit itself needs to be where you are with any kind of serious burn, because it's all completely different care, and it's all a staff that's dedicated only to burns and stuff like that. So it's a long process, and I like I still volunteer at whenever I can with burn groups and burn units. If I'm in a city, sometimes I'll just go visit the burn unit. Even, you know, not saying what I do for a living or anything, just saying, hey, I'm a former burn survivor, and if anybody needs to talk about stuff, I'd love to come in, because it's the one of the injuries or situations medically that when you are talking to somebody, if they have not been through it themselves, you don't listen to what they say. It's kind of unfortunate, but that's how it is. If you can look at somebody with burn scars on them and they're telling you what to expect, you'll listen.
Yeah, it makes sense.
If you're not, you know, you're in your mind, you're saying, you really don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what I'm going through. So the point is when you can and tell people, I do know what you're going through, and this is what to expect, then it's invaluable.
That's great that you're continuing to give back all these years later. This is the voice of actor Kane Hodder here on the Kevin Bean Show. Again, the website is kanehoddermovie.com. Help us make this documentary and also give some money back to the Burn Unit. Of course, Kane is Victor from the Hatchet trilogy, and of course, Jason from a whole bunch of the Jason movies, the Friday the 13th franchise. You do have a remarkable story, and I can't wait to see this movie. I'm frankly surprised, Kane, that you're not further along with your goal, and I know that you've just started this in the last few days, but you would think the horror community, especially when you got people like Bruce Campbell and others out there talking about your movie, you think they would be all in on this story?
I still think they will. I think it's a little bit of word of mouth to get it around to people because the horror fans are so supportive of everything a horror personality does that I'm confident we'll get there.
I think so, too. Well, we're happy to have you on to help spread the word. KaneHoddermovie.com. Hope you get over that infection. Kane, thank you so much for coming on. We really enjoyed talking to you, sir.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
How about this? How about a pair of front row tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016 at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater this Saturday? Front row, you guys. So you're like, 8 feet from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Weezer and Empire of the Sun and Panic of the Disco and all the rest, right?
Not bad.
That's what we got up for grabs right now at 1-800-520-1067. What's this one called?
Weenie Fan Songs.
Win your tickets to the Weenie Roast.
Weenie
Fan
Songs and Songs and Songs. Songs.
Really, Omar? Really? All right, we're taking your fan songs at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Phil on line 3, please, calling us all the way from Riverside. Let's see what Phil's got going on.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Fan song, you got one ready for the Weenie Roast?
That I do. All you right. Ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Listen to K-Rock with my wife. We've been living a frugal life, saving every dime we can. Nothing left to see, no band. Man, it makes us sad. K-Rock's been like family, so please hook me up with what we need. Don't need no bus to Chinatown. Just need some help to turn a frown. Just to turn them upside down. And 1, 2, 3. So K-Rock morning crew, you know what to do. Come on, K-Rock. Because okay. A weenie roach is cool.
It's not a whole album.
People
right.
Go
not a whole album, just a song.
All
right.
All
right.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Phil. Little Lumineers for you there. Very well done. Appreciate that, sir. Let's go to line 7 in Whittier. We find Dean ready to go.
Hey, Dean.
Good morning, guys. What is going on?
Think you can beat Phil?
Well, I give it a shot.
All right.
You know?
All right. What's the inspiration for your fan song?
This is a Cold War Kids first, you know?
Okay. All right.
I like it. Here's Dean.
Are you ready? Here we go. Kevin and Bean, weenie roast time. Sit in front row. That'll be fine. Watching the band, singing out loud, drinking up beer, and I'll felt the crowd. Ouch. I just need those kicks, and then I'll feel happy.
Look, what you lack in talent, you make up for in enthusiasm. And I think that's a good way to go through life, actually. Thank you, Dean. You hold on. You are in the running to be America's Next Top Model.
That's not what we're doing here.
I mean to win the front row Weenie Roast. Right. All right. Let's try Tony, line 8, please. Tony is in Corona. I think he's got a little chili pepper love for us.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So here we go.
Weenie fan songs. What do you got?
Sometimes I feel like my phone calls don't go through. Sometimes I feel like K-Rock just hangs up, but the day that I get through, I talk to the whole crew. Now is the moment I try not to cry. The only place I want to be is where they roast weenies, hugging up on Big Ass Bean, and getting smashed with Kevin is my dream. I'll give the other seat to Chip so she can finally see. And K-Rock, will you please send me for the price of free?
All right, there you go.
That was very good.
Wow, very nice. All right, nicely you hang done. On, Tony. Hope you win. Let's see what Annie's got on line 6, please. She's in Los Angeles.
Hey, Annie.
Hello, Team Party Bus.
Team Party Bus, indeed. All right, what's your inspiration for your weenie fan song this morning?
Bishop River.
Oh, I love that song. I love her. I'm excited to see her.
How do you win roast tickets? Hotter than Kevin eats over. Oh, my snow. Lumineers, hey ho. Cold War Kids just fine after Panic at the Disco. Expensive pills make me pee like a river. Oh, my liver. Oh, my liver. Till the pepper socks rise up and deliver. To throw in my sweater like a weasel.
All right.
Like a weasel.
Very nice. All right. You brought it home at the end there, too. Good job.
Well done.
All right. Hold on, man. It's going to be tough. You guys are going to be tough decision making. Let's try Caitlin in Arcadia, please. Line 5. I think we've got time for just a couple more if we hurry.
Hey, Caitlin.
Hi.
Hi there. What song are you going to do?
I'm going to do I Write Sins Not Tragedies by Panic at the Disco.
All right.
All right. Great choice.
Here's Caitlin.
Yes. Okay. Oh, well, imagine. As I'm sitting at home next to the radio, and I can't help but to hear, no, I can't help but to hear an exchanging of words. Caller 20 to K-Rock, caller 20 to K-Rock wins tickets to the show. But guess what? What a shame I was caller number 4. And I chime in with the haven't you people ever heard of? Going to Weenie Rose Fairs, the Chili Peppers and Empire of the Sun, Weezer and Panic at the Disco.
All right. Not
very
bad.
Nice. Not all right. Bad. Thank you. You hold on one more. Let's make it Sarah. She's also in Riverside on line 2. I'm afraid this is going to be the only one we have time for.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
You going to do a song for Weenie
Rose?
Yes,
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do an original.
An original. Okay.
Yes.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you. I am obsessed with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I've loved them since I was 4 years old. I really, really, really want to go to Weenie Roast. It's the only thing on my mind. I really, really, really want to go. I can't even tell you why.
Right.
Because I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay. All right.
Sounded like Tom DeLonge
Tom
a little
DeLonge,
bit.
Totally. I was thinking the same thing. I can't believe Tom's trying to call. All right, Sarah. Thank you. You are in the drawing. So is, or running, whichever we decide. It's Phil, and we've got Caitlin, Annie, Dean, and Tony. Anyone stand out to you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have my top 2.
Me too.
All right, what do you guys got?
Tony and Annie.
Tony and Annie. All right. I was going to say the
My
same
two are completely
thing,
different.
Allie.
Are you serious?
I'm with the girl, Tony and Allie. I like Dean, too, though.
Dean was my choice.
Dean was good. I'm a Tony
Dean
man.
Dean actually had a great voice, and Bean said it wasn't great. I think he's
Dean
wrong.
Dean made a reference to Chip is short.
No, so Tony yes. did.
Yeah, it was Tony.
That was Tony, sweet spirit. Yeah.
So are
you saying you like Tony now?
Honestly, I don't know now.
Tony did everybody's name.
If you both have the same person, though, I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Let's go to line 8. Let's meet our winner, shall we? Tony?
No way, guys. Really?
It's front row, though. Do you mind front row? It's awfully close.
I am half blind, so that would really help. And
all right.
I'll bring some books for Chip so we can watch Woo! The Chili Peppers, baby!
He really thinks he's sitting with Chip.
He does.
Congratulations. Thanks for winning the Weenie Fan Song.
Weenie Fan Songs. Songs.
By the way, can I just say in the We're Not Worthy department, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at this time, Mother Effin Rob Reiner will be here.
All right.
Awesome. Rob Reiner, director of The Princess Bride and Spinal Tap and When Harry Met Sally and A Few Good Men, and the list just goes on and on and on. An iconic director and actor will be joining us tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about that.
I agree that we're not worthy, but is We're Not Worthy still a thing?
Well, I'm not saying it in a Wayne's World way. I'm just saying it in a what the words mean way, which is we are not worthy to have Rob Reiner on this show, but I can't believe he's coming in tomorrow.
You're right. You're not worthy.
Oh. Roland?
Yes, Roland. You're not worthy to have a radio program on the airwaves, which, by the way, also belong to me because I'm an American and I pay taxes.
I don't think that's how it works technically.
It is. That's why FCC gets to rule over it because it's public.
Okay. What? Why are you breaking into our show? We were doing something else.
Because you're not doing your jobs.
We are doing our job.
You are not. This is tantamount to not covering a major news story that needs to be covered 24/7.
What? Right. What is that?
Captain America: Civil War.
We've been talking about it
all day.
All day long.
Talking about it now.
Yes?
Well, you are, thanks to me. Oh, Rob Reiner. Oh, he does a lot of movies, and he did all show when Harry met Sally.
Well, we can't spend every second of the show talking
Why
about
Why not?
Because people still are interested in, they can like the movie, they can love the movie.
They more than love the movie. They adore the movie. They have to live the movie. They have to rub the movie all over themselves, because it's the greatest comic book movie ever put on a screen.
All right, I'm going to just take a wild guess here, Roland. What I know about you is I bet you saw that movie three times over the weekend.
Three? What sort of loser do you think I am?
Well, you saw it probably
saw
Friday.
Thursday night at
two.
Midnight. Oh. I saw three shows Friday.
Oh.
Four shows Saturday.
Oh.
And I had to cut it down to twice yesterday because Mother's Day, you know. My stupid mother didn't want to see it again.
What? Oh,
again.
Wow.
Again.
She walked out after the second time saying that's enough.
Well, I mean, usually for most people, seeing it once in a day is enough.
And
I
had to go because she drove, so I couldn't stay for the third one. But I wanted to see it a third time on Saturday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times.
Well, I guess that's why it made almost $200 million over the weekend, huh?
Yes, and also because it's awesome.
It's very good. I understand it's very good.
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man is in it. Yes, I was very excited about that.
He is so good.
Right.
And Scarlet Witch. And Spider-Man!
Yeah.
We know.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was in the movie.
Tom Holland, the new Spider-Man, is in the movie. Oh, why does his eyes change? Because he's got super sensitive eyes. Shut up.
What was that, Roland?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh,
that's
dear.
My web shooter.
I'm terrified to ask what that really is.
How hot is Aunt May, by the way?
That's Marissa Tomei in this movie, right?
She's quite attractive.
Oh,
yeah, all right, okay.
Oh, Roland,
please, stop making that noise.
That wasn't my web shooter.
Oh, come on.
Stop it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat, and then yet more tickets you can win for the K-Rock Weenie Roast coming up in minutes. What's going on, Ralph?
I just want to double check. You didn't recognize the Vision in Captain America: Civil War. You weren't familiar with that character. He was a surprise to you. He was new. He was new to you.
I mean,
you were like, who's that guy?
Technically,
he was a fresh element.
Did I remember him? No.
Okay.
So, yes, he was a fresh element for me.
Your point is, Ralph, he had appeared in other Marvel films?
That I have seen, yes.
Avengers Age of Ultron was pretty much last half of the film was all about that dude, the Vision. It was a major, major part of that show.
Well, you recognize the voice, though.
Of course.
So you didn't put two and two together that maybe it's the same?
You look at me and you think, is he going to put two and two together? No.
Black Widow in this film?
She
was a surprise to you?
Nope. Remember her?
Yeah, you remembered her?
Yes.
Okay. You saw her and said, oh, okay, I know that is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. I had rumors to the contrary, but so just the
vision. You didn't know Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch. Oh, okay. Scarlet Witch to Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, I didn't. That was
she new. She was moving with things in her mind. That was you were not so familiar with her work.
Yeah,
in Sokovia when they put that giant city in the air and all that stuff was going on. Her brother was really fast.
Oh, the Flash?
No, Quicksilver.
Oh.
No wonder Roland gets so frustrated. No wonder Roland gets so frustrated.
Yeah.
No wonder he breaks in. He hacks into our radio station.
Yeah, it's not cool, though.
That he does that.
Right.
Well, by cool you mean illegal.
Right.
Yeah. Captain America Civil War was number one this weekend as we look at the box office. $182 million. Second movie made $22 million. So if you take in all the rest of the top 10 films and you combine them, Captain America made about four times that. That's math. The Jungle Book made $22 million at number two. Then Mother's Day, The Huntsman, Winter's War, Keanu was fifth. Barbershop, The Next Cut, was sixth. Then Zootopia, The Boss, Ratchet and Clank, and Batman v Superman, rounding out your top 10. Justin Bieber has a face tattoo. We knew it was a matter of time, right? Once I saw the dreads, I was like, oh, face tattoos are coming. I hope it's one of those big tribal Mike Tyson type face tattoos, but no, he let us down yet again. He got just a little tiny, little cross below his left eye.
So it just always looks like he's got something on his face that should be wiped away.
Right. Looks like he was eating a a Kula Koo and just got a little sloppy, and someone just needs to say, hey, brush that thing up there. You got a little chocolate, little ice cream sandwich up there near your eye. But it's a little cross, of course, in tribute to his good buddy Jesus.
Sure. I think we're talking to the Biebs coming up.
No.
I have to ask him about that.
Why would he talk to you? Don't get me started on that, Allie. I will drop you.
I am
That is
sorry.
Unfair. That
it
is unfair to do to a guy.
My feed.
That's unfair to do to a guy
it
when he's in the middle of doing his show.
What's I'm
happening?
Sorry.
What's happening over there?
Why are you distracting Ralph from his job, Allie?
Bieber was in Philadelphia performing at the Wells Fargo Center.
Mm-hmm. Over the weekend.
Where, yeah. And that's where the Philadelphia Flyers play their National Hockey League games.
And by play, you mean played.
Yeah.
Kevin.
How the Kings doing so far?
Same. Same.
Yeah. Okay.
Same.
I'm just saying.
Probably went out sooner.
So he was there, and so the Flyers, for some reason, felt the need to pay tribute to this douchebag, and they give him a jersey.
They made him a custom jersey.
Oh.
Which wouldn't be so bad.
That's got to hurt.
If it wasn't a Bieber jersey with the number 16. For those of you unaware of the history of the Philadelphia Flyers, number 16 was Bobby Clark. Bobby Clark was the greatest player to ever play for the Philadelphia Flyers, led them to 2 Stanley Cup championships. He's like a 4-time league MVP, multiple all-star. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. One of the greats.
That's the highest award they could give him.
His number has been retired. No
what?
Other player will ever wear the number 16
they
for the Philadelphia
find
Flyers.
A number?
How about the number? How about this number? How about number 1 with a middle finger representing 1? Why do you give him 16?
Can't use a retired number.
That's what I'm saying. Certainly
what?
Not one of the greats, the man that is adored throughout the city of Philadelphia.
Glad I'm not from that city.
Son of a bitch.
Sorry to
And so Al's like, oh, look at this. And she shows me a picture of Bieber wearing the jersey.
Where is the outrage?
It's right here.
I think we know.
Where's the outrage there?
I told you it's right here. People are not paying attention to where the outrage is.
Where is the outrage?
It's here, right? Look at me, lady.
Where's the outrage there?
Bieber.
Wow, that hurts.
Mariah Carey has proven that she can still party with the best of them. Great photos of the UK's Daily Mail has of her stumbling out of the nightclub called One Oak here in Los Angeles last Friday. She had to lean on somebody to get out.
Oh.
That's my favorite kind of drunk.
The kind where you can't walk.
Yeah. When other people can't walk. I like watching that. That's funny.
How old is Mariah Carey?
She's 46. Kev, what's your name? Bean?
That's Bean.
Bean.
How dare you?
Why not Kevin and Bean? This is America.
Look, I may not be the person to even ask this question, but I'm sincere about this. Is there an age at which you don't get that drunk?
No.
No.
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
I just felt like that's a rookie
mistake.
We need
your comments on this.
A little bit.
Guy who has never had a drink.
Right, but this isn't about me. This is about people in general. I just feel like, look, I understand you get that drunk when you're young. But once you're almost 50, I just feel like you ought to be able to know your limits.
Here's the good news. The older you get, the easier it is to get that drunk.
Amen.
You don't have to work nearly as hard. You can end up leaning on someone stumbling into the parking lot much easier at 46 than she could at 26.
So this isn't embarrassing in your mind at all.
That's hilarious.
It's awesome.
It's okay. Terrific. I love it.
All right.
And she was actually hard at work inside earlier. She must have really just had a great set and then decided to celebrate. She was performing at a bat mitzvah.
What?
Wow.
You heard me.
At One Oak?
Yes.
That's the best kid ever.
Well, it is her manager, Mishka Bolichnikov.
Sure. Mm.
Mishka Bolichnikov's 13-year-old daughter, Stella, was having her bat mitzvah at One Oak. As you do. You know the kids. You know the kids.
Yeah.
Sure. And so Mariah Carey played the bat mitzvah. And apparently it was quite the event. The birthday girl received a Bentley golf cart. The 13-year-old, she got
wow.
a Bentley golf cart. So
okay.
she can tool around mm-hmm. her estate. I'm sure there must be an estate somewhere.
Because she's too young to drive a real car.
Right. And she also had as I mentioned, Mariah Carey performed. There was a 500-pound red velvet cake there for everyone to enjoy.
Wow.
A lot of cake.
Even beer mug couldn't work his way through a 500-pound red velvet cake.
Yummy.
Yeah, well, maybe. And, of course, it's a very high, holy event, the bat mitzvah. That's where a young girl becomes a woman in the Jewish faith. So you have to treat it with the respect that it's due. So that's why they had a midget Kanye West impersonator. Because
was described in the Torah.
That's right. Because you want God to bless your event and also to pass you over once they start taking the firstborn.
Never wanted to see something.
I forget exactly how the midget Kanye West works itself into the Bible, but I know
I don't
it's
think
in there.
It's in the Bible.
It's there, Kevin. Who would know better, you or me?
Neither of us.
I think it was Abraham who had the first midget
right,
Kanye West in the Bible.
And God said to him, "Smite the midget." And he said, "How can I do that?" And he said, "Have faith in me." And so Abraham had to kill his own Kanye West midget impersonator.
I believe that's right. I think you got that.
I want to double check.
But then God stopped him right at the end and said, I'm not crazy. Why would you kill that? It's awesome. Mitchie Kanye West is awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
The burning bush said, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. And then there was a locust, and then the river Styx turned to blood.
Here.
No, Styx turned to blood, and then Ramses said unto Moses, is there a miniature Kim Kardashian? Because they would look awesome together. And Moses took his staff, turned it into a snake. And then the snake turned into a midget Kim Kardashian.
I want to read your Bible.
It's awesome.
So let it be written.
Yeah. So let it be done. Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Joel is 67 years old today. Dave Gahan celebrates his 54th birthday. And actress Rosario Dawson celebrates her 37th birthday. I'd like to apologize to all the hardcore Josie and the Pussycat fans out there.
Wasn't Tiffany?
Rodas played Valerie.
Of
the Pussycats, sure. Not Melody. Or Tiffany.
She's not Rodas either, by the way.
Rodas
she's Rosario Dawson.
I'm sorry. My bad. Her friends, like myself, who are familiar with her, we refer to her as Rodas.
Wrong.
I can understand why.
So is there a Tiffany? There's no Tiffany
okay. in the Pussycats whatsoever. No. It's just
But the scripture that you just quoted was all right.
That was
there's
accurate.
A Valerie. Mm-hmm. There's a Melody. Mm-hmm. And there's a Josie.
There you
okay.
go.
So those are the three members of
so
Josie and the
Tiffany?
Pussycats.
Yeah,
Tiffany,
where does she come in?
She did a mall tour with the Pussycats back in the day. That's why I got confused.
Huh.
It's quiet in here.
Wrong.
I think I'm alone now.
She's a butt biter.
Oh, Lord in heaven.
John Royal!
Nope. Denied.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:35. And time for the Ralph Showbiz beat.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought we were playing something there. All right, Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Was there a conversation about playing
yes,
something?
Yes, there was. There was a whole discussion about it.
Yep.
About 20 seconds ago.
Yeah, Kevin was looped in on, so that's why I didn't
So Kevin
in.
Heard it, agreed to it, said, yeah, okay, we'll play that there.
Right.
And then Kevin was the one who suggested it.
Oh, I
no,
see.
No, I think Chip suggested okay. it, and I said, absolutely.
Oh, okay. You were enthusiastic.
I was first in.
I got you.
But then I was way out.
And
like,
then when it came time to actually play that.
Then I didn't do it as much as I had said, absolutely.
You were way out. Concentrating?
Yes, on other things, like I do.
Like?
So then I'm the dick
Por
for
ejemplo?
Not saying anything.
No, right.
I'm trying not
it
to step
on
the thing.
It sounded like you were at first, and yet I believe... that's on me.
Oh, this on you.
This one's on
I'll
you?
I'll take that one on
okay.
myself.
Okay.
That's my bad.
Were you concentrating on your memories of Scarlet Witch and the Vision? So you're reliving those glory days?
God damn it.
Guys, this is Monday. This show doesn't even count. It really doesn't get
That's
going
what
until
I'm
Tuesday,
saying.
Right? This is the warm-up. This is the ramp. That's all this is. All right, let's...
He's a great ancillary...
right, what
he's a
say?
Great ancillary character.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Kind of lost its luster after all of that, but... All right, time for Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of ancillary characters... You saw Age yes. of Ultron, right? Avengers Age of Ultron. You saw that.
Yes.
You saw that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed it?
Yes, very much.
So you watched it.
I watched it all the way through.
You had popcorn and you looked at the big screen and there it was, right in front of you.
It was right in front of me.
So when you went to see Captain America Civil War.
Yes.
And you didn't recognize the Vision or Scarlet Witch.
Right.
How did that happen?
Is there a question there? I don't know.
How did they be? How are they surprises you? How are
complete
they
complete surprise?
Who are these new characters? Yeah, you thought to yourself.
That's what I thought.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Kevin, goddamn it!
Just double checking.
Yeah.
Captain America: Civil War was the number one movie in the Americas this weekend. $182 million. That's nuts. It's crazy.
It's not bad.
And it opened overseas before it got to us, I think. So it's well over $300 million, I think.
I think it was the fifth biggest opening of all time, maybe?
Yeah.
Jungle Book, $2.9 million, made it number two. Far stretch from number one, but still good enough to come in at number two. Mother's Day was third. The Huntsman's Winter's War. Keanu at number five. Then Barbershop, the next cut, Zootopia, The Boss, Ratchet and Clank, and Batman v Superman at number 10 with $1 million. Another day, another new Kardashian to contend with. Apparently, Rob Kardashian and Black China are having a baby.
All right.
Well, it just makes sense. It's good. It's just good planning because, you know, Black China does have a baby with the ex-boyfriend Tyga, who is now dating Rob's sister. So it makes for a healthy, I think, family dynamic. Mm-hmm. Rob has issues with depression and substance abuse and his weight control. He's down in the dumps. He's got a wildly successful sock line, of course. It just seems like all the ducks are in a row. Now's the time when you start building a family well before you get married or have a real stable family. It's a good idea to bring children into the world. I just think they're, once again, the Kardashians just doing it the right way. They're the model American family.
We can all learn from them.
Yes.
We spoke with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com earlier, Ralph. I don't know if you heard, but he said there's a seven-figure deal on the table for them to get their own reality
show.
Oh,
sure.
Show as
yeah.
Well,
of course, if it doesn't happen on a reality show, it just doesn't count with the Kardashians. But if you took the name away and the money away and you explained that situation to anyone,
yeah,
they would say, what trailer park does this family live in?
They would say where you're watching Cops.
Right. Or Honey Boo Boo.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning. Hey, you know, there's two things I really love more than anything else. I think there's two things. It would have to be Kevin James and baseball. I think those are my two big... That's the big combo, the big 1-2 combo. And it varies from day to day, which one just nudges the other one out for the number one slot on my list.
You have a Google alert for both, right?
Fave things. But this was a pretty cool story. Kevin James, you know him probably best as Paul Blart Mall Cop or the King of Queens. He is a longtime New York Mets fan. So much so that he named his daughter Shea, as in Shea Stadium.
Wow.
That's cute.
That's a legitimate fan move.
But apparently it didn't stop two guys on local New York radio on WOR named Sal Licata and Pete McCarthy on debating how much of a fan he actually was, whether he was just sort of a poser who seems to show up around the Mets whenever he's got something to promote, like Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. In last April, he was taking batting practice for the Mets, promoting that film. And one of these guys was saying, you know, Jim Brewer is a real Mets fan. Jerry Seinfeld is a real Mets fan. This guy is a poser, pretty much. Not a real Mets fan, despite the fact that he named his daughter Shay. It's all just a pose for this guy. That's when Kevin James called in.
Oh.
Unhappy with that. And went on a seemingly endless rant about how he owned the first time he ever went there with his father when he was four. And he's got the baseball cards. And he's got autographs. And he's got all the media books. And just going on and on and on. And just slapped these guys down. Ending the conversation thusly.
Let me just say this about you guys. Seriously, okay? You can say whatever you want about my movies, my career, my weight. Have fun. Okay? But three things are undeniable. My faith, my family, and my loyalty to the Mets.
I apologize, Kev. I'm wrong.
Let's go. Syndergaard tonight. Let's do it, baby. I love you guys.
How about that, Kevin James, Pete?
There you go. Set them straight. But the good news is we can make fun of how fat he is and how bad his movies are.
That's good news.
He gave us permission.
He did.
We just can't talk about his faith, his family, or his Mets.
I say that round went to Kevin James, by the way.
Did it?
I think
did it?
So.
Yeah.
That's a good question. The fact that he got on the phone
sure
that
anybody
fast
won
to defend himself, I don't know. It sounded to me like he was pretty plugged in.
What about the other rounds? How do you score those, Bean?
I think this was the only round.
Oh, it was the only round. Okay.
Hey, Ralph, I know it's your segment, but I do have late-breaking news, if you don't mind me jumping in with something that I think will be of interest to the Kevin and Bean listeners.
Knock it out.
That's not at all the right button. This is the one I wanted to hear.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Due to overwhelming demand, a second weekend has been added to Desert Trip. Now, Friday, October 14th through Sunday, October 16th, with the same six of the world's most iconic and influential rock and roll artists coming together now for a second weekend in Indio, California. So now, if you didn't get tickets for the first weekend with the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney and Neil Young and Roger Waters and The Who, you got another shot at it with second set of tickets going on sale.
Hey, hey, my, my, I'm going to play another weekend.
So there's that.
All right.
All right.
Is that worth breaking in for now?
It's absolutely, yes. Yeah.
DesertTrip.com for passes.
You didn't
details.
Have to shout the birds. It would help.
Your birds seem happy with the announcement.
Well, all right.
I know that much. They seem very excited. Are you doing the show from a pet shop? Is that where it is? Are you near the canaries?
No, those are the pet shop boys you're thinking of.
That wasn't funny, Bean.
No, that wasn't even tangentially connected to what I said. You just
the kids are not cheering.
You just repeated what I said and put boys at the end of it.
It gave me a boner.
Thank
no,
you,
it
Allie.
Didn't.
I enjoyed
no,
this very much
you can't
as well.
Play that drop.
He literally doesn't laugh ever. When he thinks something's funny, he says it's funny, except for when he says something.
Because, never mind.
But that wasn't even it wasn't the title of a Pet Shop Boys song or anything. You just said what I said and put boys at the end of
it. Right, because those are the people who would be doing a show from, the boys who would be doing a show from a pet shop are the Pet Shop Boys, not me. That's not me. I'm not that guy. I opened my door because it was getting super hot in here. That's all. I apologize.
Are you okay?
I kept it closed all day long, and then it got to be the 9 o'clock hour, and the sun is beating down.
That's not our problem. Why do we have to hear your goddamn birds?
They're just birds, guys. We're just people. They're just birds. It's
right.
Okay.
But we don't have to hear them.
It's not going to hurt anybody.
It's annoying.
I'm sorry. Hey, quiet down, you guys. All right, let's wrap this up.
It's like me saying, yeah, so I went on this journey the other day. You must be thinking of the band Journey. Who also go on them.
Like, and then he plays the kids. Yeah, going,
and
then
they clap and laugh at himself. Birds are getting louder. Today's celebrity birthdays. Another Mets fan, Billy Joel. He's 67 years old today. Depeche Mode singer Dave Gahan is 54. And actress Rosario Dawson. She is 37. She's lovely and talented. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Think you're out. SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness that we all win today with a commercial-free drive home at 5 o'clock this afternoon on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Thanks for the Info, Bean. Hard to believe. This might be the best sesh ever.
What?
We have a little fellow by the name of Rob Reiner.
Oh, I love him. You know, well, let's talk Donald Trump when he comes in.
Okay.
Have you been watching the coverage?
Yeah. I have been avoiding that at all costs.
He's been doing a lot of the talk show circuit and stuff.
And he loves him, I imagine.
No, not so
he
much.
He doesn't love
He's
him.
He's a goddamn hippie liberal.
We have Dominic Rodriguez, who has done a documentary on the furries. Very excited about that. And writer, director, actor, and friend of the show, Kevin Smith, directed tomorrow night's The Flash. So we've got him on the program tomorrow as well. And we've got your tickets in the front row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016.